It's about paying taxes, which is something we all enjoy doing. Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus and his ministry that is revealed to us through your word here. And we just pray now, as Jason comes and speaks to us, that you will encourage each of us to listen, to let you speak to us into our hearts, into our minds, into all our actions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want our children to grow up to be good citizens. I hear it all the time. I have four children myself. And as you go through life, Camilla and Simon, raising children, you might find you'll hear the same kinds of things. People say, "Oh, what kindergarten are you going to send your children to? What school are you going to send your children to? What university? What subjects? What course? What job?" On and on it goes. We want our children to grow up to be smart, marry the right person, get a good education, be law-abiding, have a good character, have a great career, get a house, get a family. On and on it goes. In the words of this text that we've just read today, I think we want them to figure out how to give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. The problem is Caesar asks an awful lot from us. For those of us who've done this journey for a few years, we feel like that Caesar keeps asking and we find ourselves keep giving. And I'm only 46, but at 46, I'm already tired of that. I think you get tired as you go. Is that correct? Caesar keeps asking. And the challenge of Caesar's coin is in what it claims over us. It doesn't just claim tax. This coin that Jesus observed had on it the image of Tiberius Caesar and had an inscription underneath which said, "Caesar, Caesar, son of God." It was a big claim of divinity. And that's partly why, well, in many ways, why the Pharisees and the Herodians were asking the question. They were an unlikely mob to be friends. I mean, the Pharisees were religious people who were about keeping kind of religious purity, and the Herodians were collaborators with the Roman Empire because everything that the Romans won, they benefited from. So it was an unlikely partnership. But the reason for the trick in the question was that this coin was claiming more than just a tax. It was claiming that Caesar might have some kind of divine claim on your life. The trick in Jesus' time was that if he said to the question in verse 17, "Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" If he said no, well, that's treason. And that has with it all kinds of nasty implications. But if he said, yes, it's right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar, well, then that lets the whole side down. It lets the faith down because it's a compromise on religious stuff and lets Caesar have some divine claim. It lets the Jewish people down because they're under the armed rule of the Roman Empire. And so you'd expect he would lose favour among the people. Well, in our time, Caesars aren't so explicit to claim divine power. In our time, we don't see coins with the Elizabeth, daughter of God. We don't see this. And in fact, I think Caesars have become more realistic in their claims over our life. All they really want nowadays is a quiet separation between the religious life and the public life. I think that's what they want. Give us Monday to Friday. Give us the 60 hours that you have on Monday to Friday. And you can have Saturday to yourself. And then on that Sunday morning, for that hour and a half, you can do your religious duty. I think that's what Caesar really wants nowadays. It's just a nice, comfortable separation between the religious and the public. Keep your religion private, personal, and leave the rest to me. Don't you reckon? That's pretty much the world we live in now. You can have your faith, it's fine. Just make sure it's private and it's personal, and that it doesn't impinge on all the other things that seem to matter in life, especially maybe the economy, but especially our public moralities, etc., etc. Anything about politics, churches have nothing to do with. So Caesar's is a lot more subtle, and we, generally speaking, go along for the ride. So Jesus replies to this question and to Caesar's claims, and he says this: give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. It's obvious what he means, isn't it? It's funny, because I reckon the Herodians would be pretty happy with that as an answer. And I reckon the Pharisees would be happy with that as an answer. So who's right? What is God's? If we just go down a little bit further in Matthew chapter 22, and let's have a look at verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What belongs to God? Everything belongs to God. Caesar may claim the coin, but God claims it all. What do we give back to God? Well, as far as Jesus and a very orthodox Jewish perspectives, as far as Jesus is concerned, you give everything, including Caesar. The whole shebang belongs to God. We may be citizens in this world, but we are first and foremost children of God. We belong to Him. And so this trick question turns out to be not a question at all. It's not even a question. There isn't a struggle of power between Caesar and God. There isn't even a separation of powers, because God's overall. He's the owner of everything, including the Caesars of our world. And when we realize that everything belongs to God, that in fact we who are followers of Jesus are free from every power, every claim over our lives, then actually the Caesars of this world will get in their right place. They'll find their place, but only when God is overall. That's how they'll find their place. So for those of us who are parents, if we go for citizenship, if we go for the fact that we want to raise our children to be good citizens in this world, then they'll end up like you have ended up, giving too much to Caesar. Maybe not you. Maybe the world, though. Caesar will keep claiming, keep invading, keep taking everything. Because Caesar doesn't just want the tax. He wants it all. So So if we go for citizenship, we need to be highly aware of where it's leading. But if we go for the fact that our children are to grow up and know that God is overall, that their whole lives belong to God, and then we're going to see their lives changed and our world will be, in fact, a better place because of it. Our young people will be more confident because they'll know who they belong to. You know, when Caesar has his coin, he stamps on the coin his image. Boom, that's my coin. Tertullian said in the 4th century this, we are stamped with the image of God, and this is what gives us our true value. In Genesis chapter 1, it was said of you and I that we were made in the image of God from the very beginning, before Caesars were around. God stamped his image on you. But not just that. When you became a follower of Jesus, God is at work in you by his Spirit so that you might grow into the image of Christ, God himself. You have a claim on your life. You belong to God, and that is what gives us our true value. And when our young people know this, they ought to be more confident because they know who they belong to. I am a child of God. There is no one greater in this universe than that, and that is my Father in heaven. They ought to be more certain. And don't you need more certainty in this pretty complex, crazy world? One of the things about our young people today is that they have anxiety because they don't know what's going to happen. Our world teeters on the brink of environmental destruction, nuclear destruction, political craziness. And our young people, I think, are highly aware of all this. Our standard of living by most forecasts, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but our standard of living by most forecasts is destined to go down. Affordability of that house that you are all trying to pursue is unlikely unless you did well with your parents. And I'm sorry, my children, but you haven't done so well. It is increasingly difficult in our world to have the same standard of living as our parents. So how do you get certainty in all of that? You know what Jesus did is he took Caesar's coin, this coin which reminded people of the oppression, reminded people of the taxes, the coin that reminded them that they were no longer their own masters, that they were in fact slaves. He took this coin and he said of that coin, you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and you give to God what belongs to God. In other words, Jesus was not intimidated by the coin. The coin and all it symbolizes and all the little writing on it that says Caesar is in charge around here and you owe him something. Jesus was not intimidated by that coin. He says, that's just a coin. And that's just Caesar. Jesus knew who was in charge. God's rule is not in question. It is not up for debate. God's rule is not a choice. Doesn't matter what Caesar is in town, God is still in charge. That is a statement of fact. And young people need to know this in an uncertain world. Our times are complex. You have more moral and ethical fuzziness than maybe ever. Ever. Navigating our world is as difficult as any other time. At 11 years of age, you are having to make moral decisions that most of us weren't making before we were probably in our late teens to 20s. God's still in charge. Parents, God is still in charge. And when we go for the fact that we belong to God, that God has claim in all that we have, we're free. We're actually free. Free to serve. See, the Caesars love pushing and pulling you different ways. This is what you need to do. Like, who wants to be an archaeologist today? Nobody, because it doesn't pay very well and there are no jobs. No, everyone wants to be something that is jobs and pay. But actually, we're free. We're free because we are not bound by economic certainties. We're free to choose what God leads us into. When I finished an engineering degree once in my life, worked as an engineer, but I got to the end of that year and through various things, God really laid upon me that he was calling me into Christian ministry, unpaid Christian ministry, full-time unpaid Christian ministry. Have you got the idea? So we went on a family holiday. I didn't realise Cheryl was going to be here today, but we went to Kangaroo Island. We were sitting around a fire one night, and my parents said to me this. They said, Jason, you could do a few more years as an engineer. Work, know your trade, earn some income, get some security, and then go into Christian ministry. That's what they said to me. Now, here's the problem. My parents are useless at serving Caesar. Terrible. My whole life, they have mocked the whole idea of earning a livable allowance because they've given stuff away, left, right and centre, to needy people. They had six kids. Dad was a part-time mechanic and a full-time pastor. We lived below the poverty line growing up. They constantly made choices which were for God and made it hard for us, didn't they? And I'm not even telling half of it. So here's my problem, is the people who are talking to me have raised me to not once render too much to Caesar. Not once. So I said to them this, annoying son that I am. I said, you raised me to be like this. I'm just doing what you taught me to do. God's called me here. I have no wage certainty. I don't know where it's leading. It's saying no to a four-year degree. But it seems this is what God wants me to do. And I'll render to God what belongs to God. And so thus starts the journey for me. Because we're free, people. We are free. You are free to work in what we might call a normal day jobs. And you are free to serve in things that look a bit crazy. You are free. You are free. And we can help our young people grow when they render to God everything and be free to serve when they know that God, everything belongs to God. So, let's not stop at citizenship. There's actually nothing wrong with all the things I've named. I mean, I went and got a good education. I love being married. I love the fact that I live in a house. I've got a house. It's amazing. It's all great. But God owns it all. It all belongs to God. And has a claim on it all. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to one day sitting around the fire and saying to my children, don't you reckon you should just work a few more years, get a bit more security up? You know, our youth pastor is not doing that. Crazy guy, you went and, well, not just you, but you went and got pregnant. And we're offering you half-time role. And in the midst of all that, you're also studying. And you're going to scramble to work other things, so you're going to pay bills. You don't have a house. Most people around you probably think, you crazy people. What are you doing? You probably even got married too young and according to all the friends around. Sounds like you're doing just the right thing. You're giving to God what belongs to God. And that's the first claim in your life. And to be honest, we need people like you. I'm speaking to both of you. We need people like you. Because most people won't do what you're doing. Because actually they need to do other things. But when we have people like you do what you've chosen, because everything belongs to God, it reminds the rest of us. God has a claim on all of our things too. And we need to be ready to give up whatever God asks too. Now, I think I've told you this already, but God is incredibly faithful. He'll supply all your needs. But I commend you for your approach to life, which says it all belongs to God. And I'm so glad that our young people get to see that. This is happy. I don't know why I'm so upset, but this is happiness. I think I'm just moved by what God's called you to. But Simon, do remind people that Caesar may claim their coin, but God claims it all. It all. And whether they follow Jesus or not, he claims it all. Everything belongs to him without reservation. And we would much prefer that they'll come to know God and love him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But he claims it all. And he will accept nothing less than that. Please remind them that. Let's pray. Our God, it can be a fearful thing to be in the hand of God. Definitely. I reckon the Caesars of our world sometimes need to be more afraid. And maybe we too, especially when we think, when we claim more than we ought. But actually, it is a joyful thing to be in the hands of God. You are a loving God who has for us good. In trial or pain, sorrow, even strife, in joy and blessing, you have good. So I pray, our God, that while we're busy in our lives, in this time, rendering to Caesar, that God, we might do it in a way that says you have first and total claim of all of us. I pray this for our young people. I pray this for all of us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.